Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're really glad to be with you here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we have an important topic. Doug and I have done a fair amount of work, actually a lot of work, both on the TV side and somewhat on the radio, debunking the official narratives of these false flag attacks masquerading as mass shootings. Oh, there's mass shootings. There's planned mass shootings. And we've had another one today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to expose what administrations are most complicit. And there will be one inescapable conclusion when we are done. We're brought to you by storable food, water filtration, and diversifying your income through gold. Number one, food. Storable food. The strangleholds being put on the food supply, there's no denying that. Every day, a factory burns down related to food. Millions of chickens are put to death. Fires kill poultry. You hear it every day. Something's happening. They are taking your food away from you. In the UK, they're giving kids bugs for lunch as an experiment. I kid you not. So, having said that, get your storable food while you still can. No price increase, good sale, and all the details about the worthiness of the product, which are many, go to preparewithdave.com. Now, you need to have water. With the roving blackouts, who knows how long your power is going to be off. So you're going to need to have water filtration. You may be scavenging for water. And the best in the business is the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. Research is there at waterwithdave.com. And they're on their last legs for supply. I'm the lone vendor in the United States because of this, and I don't know how many there are. I'm just telling you, they're not going to be around long, and they're the best in the business. So go to waterwithdave.com. And then finally, gold and silver and palladium and platinum and gold proofing your IRA. There's millions of things they can do for you. I'm a customer of Noble Gold, and they will diversify you. If you keep all your money in the bank, well, be prepared to lose all your money to the bank. So we hope that you'll listen to what I'm telling you. You can get a hold of them two ways. You owe it to yourself if you have a nest egg to protect to call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, or go to goldbeforelate.com. That's goldbeforelate.com. They'll send you electronic material, but you'll have to call them because they will not pursue you. They are not aggressive. You have to close every deal. I know. I speak from experience four times over. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Diversification to save what you've earned. You've got the water filtration, and you've got the food. Those are three of the elements in our survival list of food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Well, we have Doug Thornton with us here, Doug and Dave Intel Report. And, Doug, I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have all these murderous Republicans killing everybody. That's what the Democrats are saying. They're calling the Republicans genocidal masters. The data doesn't quite bear that out, does it?
No, it doesn't. And we have quite the data.
Yep.
Of course, sadly, we have to report that today there was another mass shooting. Yet again, another active shooter, this time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with four victims and number five being the shooter. It is often counted that the shooter is considered to be one of the victims of the crime violence or the gun violence. I believe one of the reasons why is because the gun is always the problem. But if the person didn't have a gun and wanted to go kill people, well, you know, just like in Waukesha, he could have just gotten his vehicle and drove over people. Or like in China, he could have just got a knife and killed over 20 people with it.
That's why we need to ban knives.
This is the problem with today's society.
Yep.
It's not that we have more access to weaponry than ever. We've always had access to weaponry. Back in the 1700s and 1800s and 1600s, people had access to cannons and battleships with cannons on them, or privateers with cannons on them. But the real problem, Dave, I think the real problem is that we have a unlimited fettered access to the internet and to very subversive language, subliminal messaging. We have a government that is known to have how would you say this, experiment with hundreds of thousands of people from MK Ultra or other projects like what the DoD does. And we know that they can drive people into insanity by using extremely low frequency waves, by using various different techniques, by using radar. There's all different types of ways that the government has discovered on how to make a normal person become unhinged, let alone, Dave, broken homes, demonized people, people that have involved themselves within gangs, people in secret societies. Then we have the privateer armies of these drug lords. The list grows on and on. And also the Clintons. You know, they're probably the one of the leading causes for mass shootings, but no one ever catches them. We have an epidemic in this country. What's the answer to it? I think the only real answer to it is for you to arm yourself with a pistol and to get training on it and to carry said pistol every time you walk out the door. That, Dave, I think that's really the only thing. And that, and go to good shooting courses where you learn what you're doing with your weapon. You know how to fix mistakes when they happen. You know how to fix malfunctions. And where you also know how to properly use tactical medicine like tourniquets, pressure bandages, how to stop shock, how to stop the bleeding. That really is the only thing that prepares you. And Dave, you know why that's an accurate statement? Because that's what law enforcement and the military is trained. But the public is trained run, hide, fight. That's not fair. We have a public, we the people, who can carry guns legally, concealed or unconcealed. But where is the training for the population? It's not there. Nobody wants that liability. But just imagine, Dave, could you imagine what the United States would be like if you had to have experienced at least 6 to 8 months worth of proper gun safety, range time with actual experts on the firing line, and learning how to use a weapon properly, learning how to, I guess you could say, respect that weapon, much like what they used to do back in the 50s and 60s with the shooting teams that happened in the schools. My mom was a part of one of those shooting teams. And I think it's very interesting how we have gravitated away from that way of thinking. We seem to be a much more progressive in a smarter society, but yet we've killed more people, and Dave and I are going to talk about it, we've killed more people within the past 5 or 6 presidencies than I think has happened since World War II with active shooters. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think this. We had a lady that was a sponsor at a graduation party. And a man who was not supposed to have a gun, so much for taking the guns away will save us all. He was guilty of domestic abuse, preventing him from owning a gun. He shows up with an AR-15 and sprays the crowd. Fortunately, no one was hit. The sponsor, she had a license to carry. She pulled out the gun out of her purse and killed him with one shot. She saved numerous deaths. She should be on Good Morning America, CNN, all these news stations as a hero, but she's not. And the reason she's not, number one, she's not a white supremacist, she's a black female. Number two, she used gun in self-defense and saved lives. That destroys their narrative. And the other thing I think, too, is this, is that reporters actually tried to pin down the new White House press secretary, who is really out of her element. She's way over her head. But anyway, that being what it is, they pressed her, why isn't Biden moving to harden the schools? And when you and I have talked about $40 billion that we sent to Ukraine would go a long way towards protecting students immediately. And she said, that's not an option. We're only interested in gun control and taking away the dangerous guns and getting a weapons of war off the street. This bullcrap doesn't even make any sense. They don't care about the kids because a mass shooting could happen next week. And we could have already started arming the schools with personnel that are armed. And Doug, nothing's being done, and yet they won't have made a dent in the guns. And then today, north of the border, Justin Trudeau told the Canadians, you don't have the right to own a gun, you don't have the right to self-defense, you don't need it. And yet this is an era of defund the police, and they'll come when they can, and they'll get there just in time to draw a line, a chalk line, around your cold, dead body. That's what I think, Doug.
Well, I mean, we are climbing the ladder, Dave, when it comes to shootings. And I'm sitting here updating a PowerPoint for the active shooter presentation that I'm going to be giving for our active shooter reaction class. And if people don't know this, I'm going to be hosting a active shooter awareness and reaction class, which is going to be hosted by Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold. It'll be at his location. That's going to be in the first weekend of September. And we're going to go over everything active shooter. The shooters, the most known active shooters, who they were, what their tendencies were, the mental backgrounds that we can get. We're going to go over the weaponry, the reason why the weaponry was used, if possible. We're going to go over a whole smorgasbord of stuff, Dave, and you're actually going to be giving a presentation there as well. And we're going to be doing a lot of, you know, let's say tactical training. We'll leave it at that. We don't want to put too much out there, but it, Dave, we talked about doing this before the active shooter started.
Yes.
This was planned, what, 2 or 3 months ago? 2 or 3 months ago, before the active shooter started. And we have talked about numerous times how many active shooters are possibly going to be this year. And I told you, I think at least 8 major active shooters. At least 8 major. That means it's got to make mainstream headlines. They didn't count the active shooters in Portland over Memorial Day weekend or New York, but Tulsa made the headlines. So, by my standing right now, Dave, I think we have like 3 or 4 more left, and then we've hit 8. If we go above 8, my Lord. But, folks, what I'm really getting at is actually not nearly where we're at. Let's talk about where we're at right now on active shooters. I think this may surprise a lot of you. So far this year, and me and Dave were just verifying the numbers, I got 233 mass shootings based off the government standards of 3 people shot in 1 sitting or more since January of 2022. 233 of them, which right now by those standards is 374 deaths and an unknown amount of people that have been injured. Right now it's unknown. But let me give you this one little tidbit, and this is very interesting. Major mass shootings by presidency. Bill Clinton had 8 major mass shootings with 62 dead and 78 injured in total. George W. Bush, 8 shootings, 75 dead and 62 injured in total. Obama, 24 shootings, 236 dead and 275 injured, which would, for Bush and Obama, that would average out to about 4 shootings per term. And then we have Trump, 4 major mass shootings. Another one. Do you see a pattern here? 4 mass shootings per term. That's kind of the roundabout. 83 dead, well over 600 injured. Biden so far, 233 mass shootings in 1.5 years. Over 374 deaths and an unknown amount of injuries at this time. Dave, what do you think about that? What is your honest opinion about that?
Well, when we look at the Republicans versus Democrats for mass shootings, the Democrats dwarf the Republican administrations. And that's because I firmly believe, as we're discovering with the last two false flags, them speaking about Buffalo and Uvalde, we know there are problems in terms of just accepting everything at face value. And what we are seeing is every time the Democrats have a mass shooting, they call for gun control. When the Republicans have a mass shooting, they look for intervention strategies. What can they do to stop it? So clearly the Democrats want your guns. But I want to point out something else, that Trudeau, well, here's the deal. Australia and New Zealand, they brutalized their citizens physically and psychologically during the lockdowns because they don't have guns in their countries. Canada has limited guns, and now they're going to have no guns. And the same thing. The UK, the same thing. So if you take what they call the Kanzik nations, that's New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and the UK, they can abuse their citizens because their citizens can't defend themselves. And in China, in Shanghai, with 25 million people, we saw the epitome of that. Pets beat to death, kids taken away from parents at force, and locking people in until many of them starve to death. That's the epitome of tyranny. But in the English-speaking nations, right now they're taking away the guns, but they're also taking away the police. So not only will they not defend you, you're not allowed to defend yourself. You have to ask yourself what's coming. And for an answer to that, we have an historical precedent. The University of Hawaii Democide Project, and people look that up, D-E-M-O, Democide Project, multi-decade project from the University of Hawaii. And what they say is that, well, they give you all kinds of data. Which is worse, death by government or death by war in the 20th century? And easily war is outpaced greatly by death by government. And what we also know is that every genocide, 16 of them in the 20th century, each one was preceded with gun confiscation. And we're headed down a very dark path historically. So I have to say, they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves. They want us to be at their mercy, which means they can dispose of us if we become too much of a burden economically. If they don't like our politics, they won't just take our bank accounts, they'll take us. That's what I think, Doug.
Well, I think it, at the end of the day, it really comes down to kind of like what you were saying. Having the overall advantage over the civilian populace means taking away any type of firearms that would make the civilian populace not on an equal to ground of the federal government. And that ground would be based on guns, period. Now, you would say that the federal government obviously outweighs us because they have aircraft carriers and battleships and submarines with nukes on them, and you know, we got all different types of stuff. They got, you know, men in the infantry dressed up as women with high heels now, so they're obviously outnumbering all of us. But what it really comes down to, Dave, is Vietnam and Afghanistan. I think what these people forget is that a very clever and crafty people with just a little bit of materials and the will to resist can and will survive a major national or a major nation like America and their efforts to thwart them in any type of guerrilla tactics. And I think America would be the number one home of the guerrilla warfare fighter because we have the most returned veterans from multiple active wars. And we also have an extremely active populace into the art of gunplay. A lot of people who are not, you know, military or law enforcement have a lot of guns, they got a lot of gear, they got a lot of training, and they have the cojones to get out there and resist tyranny. And good on them. We need more people like that. But what is it that's going to be the overall de facto reason for why they're going to come after our guns? Oh, man. Let me just get into it here for a second. Hold on just a second.
Okay, Doug's pulling up his data here, and we're going to be talking about more stats to validate the trend towards making the people defenseless.
Okay, so, Dave, this is the number of victims of the worst mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May 2022. And the list is rather long. All right. So, starting with Las Vegas Strip Massacre. This was in 2017, Las Vegas, Nevada. 58 fatalities, 546 injured. Orlando Nightclub Massacre, Orlando, Florida, 2016. 49 fatalities, 53 injured. Virginia Tech Massacre, Blacksburg, Virginia, 2007. 32 fatalities and 23 injured. Sandy Hook Elementary Massacre, Newtown, Connecticut, 2012. 27 fatalities, 2 injured. Texas First Baptist Church Massacre, Sutherland Springs, Texas, 2017. 26 fatalities, 20 injured. Luby's Massacre in Killeen, Texas, 1991. 24 fatalities, 20 injured. San Ysidro McDonald's Massacre, San Ysidro, California, 1984. 22 fatalities, 19 injured. El Paso Walmart mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, 2019. 20 fatalities, 26 injured. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, Parkland, Florida, 2018. 17 fatalities, 14 injured. United States Postal Service shooting in Edmond, Oklahoma, 1986. 15 fatalities, 6 injured. And you have the San Bernardino mass shooting. That was the Christmas Day shooting. And San Bernardino, California, 2015. That was actually considered an Islamic extremist attack. That was 14 fatalities and 21 injured. Binghamton shootings in Binghamton, New York in 2009. 14 fatalities, 4 injured. Fort Hood Massacre, Fort Hood, Texas, 2009. 13 fatalities, 30 injured. Columbine High School, Littleton, Colorado, 1999. 13 fatalities, 24 injured. Aurora Theater shooting, Aurora, Colorado, 2012. 12 fatalities, 70 injured. The Naval Yard shooting in Washington, D.C. in 2013. I actually almost responded to that. That was 12 fatalities and 8 injured. Thousand Oaks Nightclub in Thousand Oaks, California, 2018. 12 fatalities, 22 injured. Virginia Beach Municipal Building shooting in 2019. 12 fatalities, 4 injured. Tree of Life shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. 11 fatalities, 6 injured. GMAC Massacre in Jacksonville, Florida, 1990. 10 fatalities, 4 injured.
I'm doing an interview.
Minnesota, 2005. 10 fatalities, 5 injured. Santa Fe High School shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, 2018. 10 fatalities, 13 injured. Boulder Supermarket shooting in Boulder, Colorado, 2021. 10 fatalities, no injuries. Buffalo Supermarket Massacre, Buffalo, New York, 2022. 10 fatalities, 3 injured. Dayton Entertainment District in Dayton, Ohio, 2019. 9 fatalities, 27 injured. So, as you notice, the most common thing amongst all these shooters is that they're double digits. They're double digits because typically the way an active shooter is going to employ themselves, it's going to first, let's talk about the instruments. They're going to assume the best weapon for the job or the most available weapon. Typically, the most available weapon has been a rifle, AR-15 style with a 30-round magazine, and then it would be a semi-automatic pistol with at least a 10 to 15 round magazine. Not clips, they're magazines. What we notice is that the accuracy of most shootings is very poor unless the shooter was very close. One of the stranger things about this is that with the Buffalo Supermarket mass shooter in New York recently, he was very accurate. And for someone to not have training, That is very strange. But once again, the AR-15 was designed as a point-and-shoot weapon. Literally, the barrel is long enough and the way the weapon is configured that you just point the barrel towards somebody, and due to ballistics of a 5.56, if they're within 50 meters, that bullet is most likely hitting them. So that is one of the reasons why shooters will use the AR-15 in semi-automatic platforms. The other thing is, we see that the average of the shooter victims that have died are in the double digits. Here's one of the reasons why. One of the reasons why, and it's why we talk about run, hide, and fight, is that typically, while people are running, their backs are towards the shooter, and they are not facing the shooter, not confronting the shooter. They're not weaving. They're not zigzagging. They're running. And because they're running, and typically most of these shootings are done indoors, people will then be funneled into an area where it's not hard to shoot and hit somebody every one or two or three shots. So you have a very unique perspective from shooters who, I would only guess, Dave, they look at other shooters and what works. That's one of the theories that we have in law enforcement, is that active shooters study each other, which is one of the reasons why we know that active shooters are motivated to kill because of other successful active shooters. And I do mean successful. And how many successful have we had? A lot. A very much lot. We've had enough active shooters to happen in this country for almost every crazed ideology out there, to include the attempted assassinations on presidents, to fill up enough crazy people for probably the next 100 years worth of shootings. Here's one of the problems, and we know this for fact, is how many times, Dave, let's step on toes for a second, Dave, shall you? Well, let's join me in stepping on toes. How many times were the FBI involved in these active shooters? And by that, I don't mean that they participated in the shooting. I mean that they were involved with communication prior with the shooter. We know for certain Buffalo, which has come into, come back into the press, had at least one retired FBI agent from Texas that was in this 4chan or whatever, a Discord chat group. I don't know what it is that the kids do at their video games. Some sort of a online chat group in this video game. And the shooter actually disclosed the entails of what he was going to do 30 minutes prior. And we know that to an extent, this FBI agent, whose, I guess you could say, code name was called Sandman, and another person who may or may not have an affiliation with the FBI agent, groomed this kid, told him what type of tactics and weapons to use for this killing, and knew of it and did nothing, reported nothing. Dave, what do you think about that?
Well, I think of it like the LA public schools. Same thing. This is in the state legislature. Pardon me, I misspoke. In the state legislature, in the Senate, they passed a bill that basically took away the report requirements for death threats. So if you're in a school, and let's say a teacher hears a student say, "I'm so mad, wait till I come back with a gun and kill all you blankety blanks." Well, that used to be actionable. You would have told an administrator, the police would have been called, the person would have been arrested, they probably would have done a psych eval for 72 hours and evaluated the threat, investigated them for weapons, take any weapons from them. Now, in the state of California, they are proposing that you can no longer act against a student for verbal threats against school or school personnel, including students. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, I guess I would say because I wasn't an academic. But if I was an academic, if I was a teacher, let's say Wrecker actually went back to college and finished his degree and became a history teacher. If I was in school teaching with the kids, and because most likely it would be high school, and I found out that there was a student who had planned to do an active shooter, and law enforcement was not involved based off of school policy, Dave, I would have filed a suspicious activity report. It's called a SAR report. I would have made the 911 hotline. I would have went straight to one of the detectives at my local police department and ratted. Because I would rather lose my job than lose kids' lives. And that's just the plain fact of it. And I know you probably feel the same way. There's no way that teachers can hear something like that and then not report it. I mean, what else would they not report, Dave? Rapes?
Do you want to hear the reason why? Because
yes,
the reporting would negatively impact a greater proportion of minority students. But they offered no data in their rationale.
You know the rationale that reminds me of? That reminds me of something very silly I just recently read today. That the WHO says that the Gay Pride Month should continue even though monkeypox is the most spread viral agent amongst that community, and that the community should not go through with any of their parades because it would be detrimental to the community, even though monkeypox has a higher spread rate than COVID, as they're saying right now. We live in a clown world. That's just what it's come down to. We live in an absolute clown world. Here, let's expound upon the clown world mania. Let me pull something up for you, Dave, because I think you'll find this interesting. Here's a number of mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May of 2022 by the shooter's race or ethnicity. We had 68 mass shootings by white people, 21 mass shootings by black people, 10 mass shootings by Latinos, 8 mass shootings by Asians, 5 by other races, 3 by Native American races, 12 unknown or unclear, most likely that means the shooter was not identified. So white people obviously had the most amount of shootings because we make up the largest amount of people in this country. So that's why I'm not really too shocked by that. Here's one. Number of mass shootings in the United States between 1982 and May of 2002 by the shooter's gender. 123 of these mass shootings were done by males. 3 by females. 2 of them were done by male and female accomplices. One of those would be the mass shooting for the Christmas party in San Bernardino. I think that was 2013 or 14, and that was an Islamic extremist attack. Dave, here's something. Let's talk about the gender real quick. When we hear of a mass shooting, what is the first thing, and be you know, unbiased when you say this. When you hear mass shooting in the news, what is the first image that comes to your mind of who that shooter is? Race, age, build.
White, 40s, loner, a little overweight, usually has a job, often a spouse. Those are some of the hallmark profilings we see out of the FBI.
And see, and that's interesting, because in my mindset, what I expect to see is a young kid between the ages of 16 and 25 who is most likely going to be white, most likely going to be left-leaning. They'll have some sort of extremist ideology, and they will be skinny, most likely. All right? Why is it that we don't see the football jocks, the captain of the offense or defense for the football teams, going and doing the mass shootings? Or the captain of the wrestling team? Or the captain of the cheerleader squad for the ladies? You don't see the gold medal athletes from track and field. You don't see the president of the chess club. What I'm getting at is there is a component here. There is a series of kids that seem to be isolated, segregated from society to some extent. Some people will blame it on bullying. Some people will blame it on the broken home. I think the broken home has probably 90% of most problems with these shooters. And the other part, Dave, I would say is the children who have mental illness underlining or maybe not well documented mental illness, and then are involving themselves with things like very violent video games, violent TV, violent music, and I hate to sound like a 90s parent when I say that, but stats do, you know, do prove this, and they seem to have a manifesto of some extent. There's an emotional tie for why they do things. You know, Johnny made fun of me, or Susie won't date me, or everybody thinks I'm this, or they think I'm that. It seems to always be like this woe is me vendetta against other people. But we didn't see that with the mass shooter in Buffalo, New York. That's why I think this kid stands out to me as a programmed person.
Say that again. How did you arrive at the programming part?
The way I arrive at the programming part is more or less this. If you study psychological operations and MK Ultra, and I mean the nitty-gritty of the victims and the techniques, and then you study the things that the CIA did and that the FBI did, starting in the 50s, progressing to the 80s, you'll know that they had their hands in everything, from the media to music to movies to commercials to the flicker rate of the TV, the subliminal messaging. And then you have the heavy rock music and rap music, which if you delve into that, a lot of people tell you that that's a lot of psychological operations and CIA stuff that was involved with that. And also, you know, black magic and Satanism. You have all these things added together, and it's amplified even more now in 2020 and 2021-22 time frame. And kids have YouTube and Twitter and Instagram. They have access to all different types of information that when I, you know, grew up in the 90s and graduated in 2006, we didn't have access to stuff like that. And you more certainly didn't have access to stuff like that.
No, that's right. We
watched
TV by candlelight.
The more technologically advanced our nation gets, the more these three-letter agencies have the ability to open doors into children's minds, because it's right there at their fingertips. The kid that's in, I'll give it to you like this. The kid that was in Florida just recently, arrested by the sheriff's department because he texted his childhood friend at his elementary school that he planned on shooting up the school. A 10-year-old with a cell phone blew my mind. Who would give a 10-year-old a cell phone if it had my, you know, if it was one of my kids and it had my number or my wife's number and that's it? Okay, I can understand that. That's a communication device between, you know, mom and dad and the child. But the ability to have internet, the video games, you know, the YouTubes, all the social media stuff, a child's brain is not complete at that age. True. And I would tell you this much, Dave, and you may agree or disagree, but even as a young man in your early 20s, the mind is still developing and changing, and ideas are changing. And by the time you hit the late 20s, you're thinking even differently than you were in your early 20s. And by the time you hit your 30s, you look back and go, man, when I was 28, I still classified myself as a child to an extent. And we're putting so much of this technology and depravity upon these kids. You almost don't even have to give them drugs at this point. You change them so much dramatically mentally that these kids believe the violence is a real option for them. You know what I mean? They really believe that the violence is the way they need to go. They don't have the moms and dads, I guess, with the support system. They don't have the psychological support system from the schools, because the schools typically will spend that money not on security, not on the psychological stuff. They'll spend it on sports. So we have an overall breakdown all together. I just don't see a way out of it right now. I really don't.
Well, I think this ties right into what we know about Buffalo. Kid was on online video violent games, the Gendron kid, the mass murderer. And tell the audience who was there with him.
Yeah, there was an FBI agent playing in these violent video games, talking to him, coercing him, telling him what type of guns he should get, how he should attack people at this store that he was talking about going to. And then 30 minutes prior, he holds his own personal chat room where he videos it live for these people and then goes on a shooting rampage. So I'm saying it doesn't make sense to me. This is going to be one of those shootings that's going to bother me for a couple years because of the anomalies, especially when I look at this from a law enforcement perspective. The manifesto is very forced. It's very forced. It's very sporadic to an extent. There's not a lot of emotion there. It's like if I told a computer to write me a story and that was what I would receive. A lot of factual stuff, statistic stuff. Then I have, you know, regurgitated material from the government. That's not an emotional outburst. That's what I expect to get, an emotional outburst. Random talking points. But we didn't get that with this kid. And then we have to ask ourselves, how is it that we have the shooting in Buffalo, the FBI agent is in Texas, the retired agent, he's out of Texas. A week later, we have Uvalde in Texas. And it's a leftist kid again. All right, so it's two in a row. And then we also have the Spooks plane that flew from Hood to Uvalde and then almost immediately left. And I have some information on that if you want to tell people. Let me pull this up because I think I have information you may not on this. Because these are the things that really bother me about this. We said this before, we don't believe in coincidences here. I refuse to believe in coincidences. And I think what the most interesting thing about this so far, here, let's pull this up, is that this guy went on this shooting spree not too far after the shooting that happened in Buffalo, and then right before Trump was supposed to land, and he's supposed to go and talk to everybody at the NRA convention. Do you think that within itself seems rigged? Like if this was a setup to an extent, do you believe that?
Yeah, no question. No question.
Here. Dave, give me a second.
Okay. Well, you know, how many coincidences do we buy until we have a conspiracy? And that's the age old. I mean, the similarities between Uvalde and Buffalo are beginning to come out. And we're going to continue to find more. These people aren't good at covering their tracks because most people in the public, and they know this, they'll believe the first thing they're told. They don't have the time to do the research. And this is what Doug and I do. So this is why they can be sloppy. It's just absolutely incredible. By the way, Doug, I want to bring up something else, too, speaking of Uvalde, that I found out. The assailant, Ramos, purchased his, I believe it was, well, the rifle. He purchased the rifle for $2,000. He could have purchased it privately for $700 in any local gun store. Why would he pay three times over? So I kind of have an answer for this, and I'd like your feedback on this. You go back to the Kennedy assassination, the Italian rifle that Oswald used allegedly to kill Kennedy, and I don't buy that he ever fired a shot. We won't get into it now, but he ordered this through a mail order house from Chicago to be sent to Dallas when he could have walked in with no gun registration in 1963 and just ordered whatever gun he wanted, used a fake name. It wouldn't have mattered. But this gun was sent to him, and he overpaid for it. And it's because they wanted a paper trail of the gun to the man they were going to frame as the patsy for the Kennedy assassination. I think they wanted a paper trail on this rifle for Ramos, and I think this is the way they guaranteed it happened. So that's just my speculation.
No, I think that's accurate. I think it's accurate because it makes sense. Hey, same thing for Fast and Furious. Exact same people, FBI, Fast and Furious. And you know what it reminds me of? What this all reminds me of, are you familiar with a FBI operation that's called COINTELPRO?
Yes.
So the FBI operation called Counterintelligence Program was something that the FBI used to spy upon American citizens illegally and then subvert their actions illegally, namely the people that were in the Black Panther Party, the Ku Klux Klan, the Socialist Workers Party, and then some other left-winging thing back in the 70s. And COINTELPRO effectively spied upon well over 70,000 Americans without them knowing, because of the way they voted. Because of the way they voted. And they used COINTELPRO, this program, counterintelligence program, to be able to keep ties on people and gather intellectual evidence on people, data on people, because of their political motivations. I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe what we are seeing right now is another style of COINTELPRO by the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Take it all the way back to January 6th and when Trump lost the election. All right, fair or not fair, it doesn't matter. He lost the election. You take it all the way back from then and then circle back, like Jen Psaki would say, all the way to now. It feels like the FBI is helping this government to build a case against a certain portion of people in this country for very nefarious means.
Be specific. Define nefarious.
So, nefarious, being they're gathering the intel on people for MAGA, ultra MAGA, as violent, revolutionary, domestic violent extremists who don't believe Biden is the president. They don't believe COVID. They don't believe in Fauci. They believe there's a new world order. They believe that there's a one world order that George Soros runs and his hand is tied in everything. Hey, take it all the way back February 7th with the DHS National Bulletin, for the National Threat Advisory Bulletin. That's what it says. Do you remember whenever Janet Napolitano was the head of DHS, and she wrote almost the very similar thing for who was on the terrorism advisory watch list? If you were white, Second Amendment, anti-government to their extent, if you were a returning patriot of any foreign war, if you were a Christian, if you believed in the basic fundamentals of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they considered you a extremist and put you on this category, which put millions, probably tens of millions, on the watch list.
Ron Paul supporters and Christians, too. In fact, they folded that into something called the MIAC report, M-I-A-C, and DHS and the Fusion Centers had a lot to do with that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then what did Biden say about a month ago? The worst, most despicable group of domestic terrorists in the history of this country are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. I heard it come out of his mouth.
Do you know there's a very similar thing that was said by Adolf Hitler about socialists, about communists, and also about Jews and homosexuals and other people that his Aryan dream nation did not like? And you know what they also used? They also used an intelligence gathering apparatus of the federal government to spy upon people, to harass people, to illegally detain and illegally arrest without a warrant for their own citizens, to the extent that they then had the uniform police then take certain amounts of citizens and put them first into ghettos and from there into the extermination camp. Why is it that I am going over active shooter with people? Why is it that I harp on law enforcement so much, even when we do a good thing or a bad thing? Because, Dave, we are one swastika flying flag away from going back to this. History does repeat itself. History does rhyme. There's nothing new under the sun. It will come back. They'll just stamp it with something new. Biden is smelling so much of what Nazi Germany did. I can't believe it's not just alarming people left and right. What did Hitler also do? Disarm the populace. Hitler disarmed the populace. He said, the people don't need these types of weapons.
That's right.
We have law enforcement for this.
That's what Trudeau said today. Exactly what he said.
Kamala said it, Biden said it, Trudeau said it, Hitler said it first.
Yeah, I hear you. We're definitely going down that path. Doug, to close this out, would you say that false flag shootings for the purposes of grabbing guns under false pretenses, it's mostly a Democratic phenomena?
I think it's an American phenomena. And the politicians on the left and the right use it, but it seems to always help the Democrats the most.
Okay, I agree with you. Tell people about your show. We got about 30 seconds.
All right, American Vindictus Show. You can listen to it on gsradio.net, also KYH 540 Radio. The American Vindictus Show is also on Rumble, which is having me give it a lot of problems with uploading, but YouTube. I have a lot of stuff on YouTube on there. And please check out the Doug and Dave Intel Report, which is also now and on the Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Check it out.
Yeah, .tv. And we also have a website at .com. And we too are on gsradio.net. And we have archives there, and you can just navigate around. Doug and I both have independent shows there. And then this show appears on the Common Sense Show, the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And ladies and gentlemen, you're being massively lied to. And Trump was right when he said, they're not after me. I'm just in the way. They're after you. Doug, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody else, we'll see you back here again next time. God bless.
Thanks, Dave.